Hello and welcome to Providing Pediatrics, a Better Today, Healthier Tomorrow podcast, where we are addressing the unique challenges of pediatric care. I'm your host, Charles Woolley. Today, I sat down and had a conversation with Beth Hanks Clark, APRN for Physical Medicine and Rehab at Arkansas Children's. We discussed traumatic brain injury, mild, moderate, and severe. Then we took a long look at what that looks like for rehabilitation in the acute setting and for the long term. We found out that Arkansas Children's is leading the way with our concussion rehab and clinic. So proud to share this conversation. Let's get started. All right, Beth, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
I always want to start out kind of at the beginning. Are you from Arkansas?
I'm from Arkansas, born and raised.
All right. You grew up around here in central Arkansas?
Like North Little Rock. Okay. Right now I live in Cabot, so just like 20, 30 minutes north, but yeah.
I love Arkansas. I really, my job takes me out all over the state of Arkansas, and I just, it's the most wonderful thing. And I'm from Texas, but I really started to just embrace Arkansas. We'll pick so easy.
Yeah, I like to hear that. That's nice.
It's really great. So tell me about your journey. Where did you go to school? Where did you go to nursing school?
Yes, I went to UAMS right here in Little Rock for my nursing and then for the nurse practitioner program as well. So all of my schooling was there. And then I always knew it was peds for me. Pediatrics was always going to have my heart for sure.
Why?
It's just something special about these kids. They're so mighty. They're just little warriors, and they're so resilient. And it's so special seeing the pediatric population. Me specifically, and I think I've shared this with you before, but my nephew was a patient here, and he had a journey with brain cancer here at Arkansas Children's, and just to see throughout his life how much he was loved here, and then how much my brother and sister, even after his passing, still cherish Children's and want to give back. It's just so special to me, and I just feel like when I'm here, I'm keeping his legacy alive, you know.
Oh, that's sweet. I love that.
Trying to advocate for my patients. So, yeah. Just a little part about me.
I love that. What did you do before you were a nurse?
Oh.
How was your first job?
I waited tables at the Dixie Cafe.
Yes.
For 10 years. Even when I was a nurse on the floor, I would pick up on the weekends because I loved it so much. But yeah, I worked at
Dixie. The one in Cabot.
At the one in Cabot, at the one in Lakewood Village. Okay. I was Dixie Cafe lifer. Worked there for a long time.
I have to say, I miss the Dixie Cafe.
I guarantee you, anyone listening to this is I want their squash casserole and their rolls.
Hot rolls.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Okay. I love that. That's a great way to get this conversation
started. Yeah.
Okay. So you went to work here as a nurse. Did you go to the floor?
I went straight to the floor, physical medicine and rehab. Started on the rehab unit. My nephew was also a patient on that floor for a little bit. So that was super special. I remember one of my first days, one of the nurses showed me that she had his pictures hanging up in her locker that he had colored her. So that was really neat. But I worked on the floor, fell in love with rehab, fell in love with brain injury, spinal cord injury. And I just knew I had to go back, continue my schooling so that I could be a provider and try to continue to better outcomes for our kids in that role.
And so you went to APRN school or advanced practice nurse school at UAMS?
At UAMS. Very and nice. I worked full-time at Children's the whole time on the floor. So, yeah.
Wonderful. Yeah, that's wonderful. Thank you for doing that. You know, we always say thank you for your service, but I mean it. Thank you for doing it. That's wonderful. You know, I came up as a paramedic and a firefighter and a nurse here. And one of my first jobs, actually my first job here, I worked in the pediatric intensive care, and I took care of severe traumatic brain injury patients in there. And those kids stuck in my mind. One of them, I remember he had a horrible ATV incident where I think he was on an ATV and then was hit by a vehicle. And what people don't know is the difference in a coma in that kind of latent period. And you probably could tell me what this is called, but what is that time period? What do you guys label that as whenever they're in and out of consciousness and they're kind of combative and their brain swelling is going down and they're just not all the way recovered yet, but they require tons of help?
Yeah, I think you'll hear that commonly labeled as DOC, disorders of consciousness. Okay. And there's so many different ratings to all of that. And then certainly for those kids, as they're becoming more alert, as they're waking up, that's when we really start looking at what are we looking at for this brain injury? Right. Like, are we, you know, are we severe? Are we moderate? I mean, the kid you're describing certainly like would be a severe.
It was severe.
Criteria.
And I feel like it was months of care. And I really got attached to him. You know, that's what happens in the ICU. And that's why I was like, I got to find something, because you get attached to these people and their families and you're like pulling for them, rooting for them. And he got better and better and better and better. Then one day he just woke up and literally started singing a song and went probably to your floor.
Of course.
And months, maybe years went by. And I was taking a patient upstairs and I heard this young man say, "Hey." And I turned around and he was standing up and he came over and gave me a hug. And I was like, it took me forever to realize who he was, because when I took care of him, he was in the bed and like we were literally wrestling.
And if that doesn't like melt your heart as a nurse and then with all your first responder history, like I don't know what does, because that's what it's all about.
It's what it's all about.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. It really is. You know, for me, talking about traumatic brain injury, it all starts with that severe onset, right? It starts with that, you know, that collision, that coup contra coup, and the brain swelling in this confined space. And we're trying to find a way to relieve that pressure, right? And it goes back to Pegasus protocol. And I'm trying to get the patient to the right place the very first time. You know, I want to get them on a helicopter to Children's if that's what they need, because I want to get that brain open, that the skull opened up to where that brain swelling can go down, right? That is the most severe part. But what you're seeing and what you guys are dealing with is more on the mild side of things, right? And we've probably been, is it fair to say maybe we haven't been doing the right thing with these patients for a little while, these mild traumatic brain injury patients?
So, yeah. So if we want to segue to mild, like, so certainly. Okay. So, and I could talk for days about this, okay. Right? So. Yes, we know with severe brain injuries, right, we have all these protocols in place, right. and we know what to do and how to respond. And we have an amazing acute care rehab team, like full of our physicians with rehab who like they're wonderful. And we have the acute care rehab unit and we have all those supports that come in place to support these severe TBIs. Right. But then it's like, well, what about the mild injuries who got admitted for two nights and then they got discharged and it was, well, here's what you can typically expect. And then hopefully that works out. Well, we realized that a lot of these kids were getting lost to follow up, lost to follow up, or when we were finally getting them in clinic, symptoms were too far gone. And then we were having to start at like square one when we could have done a lot of things in that 4 to 6 week period right after injury that really helps with those mild injuries with their healing. And so that was kind of our mission, my mission, definitely back in 2019 when we decided to start a concussion consult. And so that's exactly what we call it. And that's more meant to, that's directed at a child with like a mild injury, a mild complicated injury, and sometimes moderates, depending on how well they're doing. Because a lot of times the moderates still need a little bit of a acute care rehab stay.
Let's dig a little bit deeper. Yeah. Okay, so you said mild, then you said mild complicated.
Yeah.
So and then you said moderate. And then, but your description of a kid that's been here, they got admitted for two nights. Do they come in? Do they get admitted to the hospital? We use that. Do they come in loosely, don't we?
Yeah.
But do they get admitted to the hospital for mild or mild?
Yeah. So
complicated?
Essentially, it's your kid who maybe their CT showed something, like they had a skull fracture, they had a small bleed, something like that. So that's what's putting them in that mild complicated, because it's not just the concussion, if you will. We like to say mild TBI because that's what a concussion is, right? Sure. And so it's not just that. There's also a change, you know, they had the fracture, they had the bleed. But for the mild injury as well, sometimes they need to be admitted. They may be super concussed, you know, vomiting, not tolerating PO intake, like still super lethargic. And so we need to admit them for observation.
Okay.
But what we found is that before we started the consult program, I mean, they were seen and they were cared for while they were in the hospital, but then they were discharged home. Maybe they would follow up with their PCP, possibly make it to concussion clinic, but by the time we saw him in our concussion clinic, symptoms were on the rampage. It was
So wait, so you said they're on the rampage. What do you mean symptoms were on the rampage?
Yeah, so
what does that mean?
Well, maybe they've come back and they still haven't been back to school because their headaches are so bad and their days and nights are off with their sleep and all of these things that if we could have seen them while they were in the hospital and given this education and got accommodations into place, we could have made such a difference with their outcomes.
Yeah.
So that's what we started. October 2019 is where we started it. And that's where we are today. And we have, oh my goodness, we have expanded. It started with a little pilot program with neurosurgery, okay. and then we spread to trauma, and then we okay. went to peds teams, and now it's everywhere. It's all through the hospital, and we're even trying really hard to make our way to the ED, where if it's, you know, yeah. maybe the kid doesn't need to be admitted, but you can tell that they're going to have some symptoms that are going to be difficult to deal with, okay. trying to get to that ED to support our kids there. It started with just me doing the inpatient consults. We now have a whole team doing them. And so that is super helpful. And we've really grown with that.
So how do you guys get, so if a kid gets admitted mm-hmm. for mild complex and are complicated, mild complicated, do they automatically flag for you guys to yeah. get to consult?
Yeah. So they okay. put in an order that says concussion consult. They'll put okay. the order in. They usually will send us like an Epic chat through okay. our Epic system, or they'll even sure. call us and say, hey, like, we're hoping this kid's going to discharge. A lot of times, you know, they'll come in overnight and then they consult us the next morning because we work typically Monday through Friday. Sure. And so we'll go up and see them during the day and give the parents and give the child all of this education, get a release of information to talk with their school, go ahead and make their school aware of what they're going through. Okay. You sure. know, that's where return to learn is yeah. so important. And that okay. was a big, that was a big mission for us with starting this program, was how much we need to support that.
I want to talk to you about return to learn a lot, and I want to talk about return to play and do some comparison there. But before we jump to that, walk me through what it looks like for what do you do with that patient? Like what kind of stuff do you guys work with them on? What kind of therapies do you offer that patient and their families in the immediate and then long term?
Sure.
And then after that, let's talk about what if that patient's at an outside hospital?
Whew, okay.
Okay.
That was a few, so don't let me skip.
I'll okay. back on that one.
Okay. All right. So immediately, right? So let's right. just say we'll compare. Let's do okay. an immediate, mild, complicated, and an okay. immediate, severe, right?
Okay.
Immediate, severe, you would be familiar with, right? They're in the PICU. Everybody's activated that trauma protocol. That's all there. But they're doing better and they're ready to come out of the PICU. So immediately for the severe, they're going to go to the acute care rehab. So hospitalist, student medical management, acute care rehab, consulting, providing all the recs for therapies, doing that, sure. collaborating together. All your therapists there in the hospital, PT, OT, speech, child laugh, school teachers, everyone, social work,
hands on
nutrition, everybody's on board yeah. and they're doing everything they can for these kids. And it has been amazing to see in the past 5 years how much growth there has been with acute care rehab, with the support it's getting for these kids. It's unreal. Like, they now have a parent caregiver educator. They have a community outreach nurse. Like, it's unreal, all of the resources to help improve these outcomes. So severe, immediate, that's what they have. Mild, complicated, immediate, that they would have. So that would be us, because they don't need an acute care rehab stay, ideally, right? Now, right. Sometimes we think it's mild complicated on CT based on like our GCS field score, based on, you know, loss of consciousness, all of that. We think it's a mild complicated, but then maybe we have to get an MRI because this kid just isn't bouncing back like we think. And we realize it was a bigger injury than we realized, right? But if we just say mild complicated, immediate support, that's your concussion team, which is part of physical medicine and rehab. We're all one group, right? So okay. We're given the school accommodations, activity restrictions, all the education on sleep and nutrition and hydration, everything they need for these next 4 to 6 weeks at home before we see them in clinic to follow up. And we will. And now we know them because we saw them in the hospital. So we know they're going to get follow up because we schedule follow up right then. And we get it done so we don't lose these kids.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
So that's your immediate, right? And like, yeah. I think that makes all the difference. But then if you want to talk about your like longer, what do we have?
Long term. Let's compare those. Let's contrast both of those.
Yeah.
Long term.
Okay. So long term, severe, right? Okay. So then we have outpatient physical medicine and rehab clinic.
Okay.
And so that's where physical medicine and rehab, whether it would be a physician or a nurse practitioner, would see them for their follow-up of their brain injury. And that comes with a lot for a severe child. You know, we need to have a dietitian see them while they're here.
Sure.
We do tone management. A lot of these kids need possibly some Botox for some spasticity. And so we do injections for them. Yeah. We help with med management for like sleep, for mood, for all of those things, attention, sure. all those things that we know can really be affected after brain injury. Resources, getting them back to school, making sure getting back to school went well, like right. all of that, ongoing therapies, orthotics, equipment, all of that was started inpatient. That's mm-hmm. what they should expect in that outpatient clinic, is that we're still supporting their child and doing all of that for them.
How long?
For as long as it takes.
Wow.
Severe.
Yeah.
That can be a long time.
Yeah.
But we're with them.
I love that.
And we're there to be there for them until we can't see them at Children's anymore. And then we help transition them to UAMS.
Amazing.
Or wherever they need to be.
Amazing. I love that. That's so cool. You guys do a lot. There's so much. It's so many, so many people involved. It's such a crazy amount of people and then, support.
And then like mild outpatient looks a little different, right? Mm-hmm. Like ideally, we hope we only have to see them for a few visits.
Right.
You know,
right.
Possibly I would say the one thing that we may anticipate needing that we didn't quite know while they were inpatient or even their first follow-up. Some of our kids, even with our mildest of injuries, do have cognitive challenges that can be longer lasting just because it's your brain. And sometimes those injuries can really affect those pathways. Mm-hmm. And so we can get neuropsych testing here at Children's now. So that's amazing because we didn't used to have that. And that was very difficult, but we have it here now. And now we can refer our kids for neuropsych testing, which is amazing. So
cool. Yeah. So cool. I can see that you're really energized about it. It's so wonderful to see that passion coming through with your work. It's such a great thing. That's one of the great things about sitting in this seat. I get to enjoy that. Okay. So I understand Back to Play. And before we started this conversation, you and I shared, like, we have seen this go the wrong way with Back to Play. And if most people listen to this may not understand the terminology we're talking about, Back to Play and Return to Learn, right? So it's kind of like it's not just a catchphrase. So catch us up on what Back to Play is and Return to Learn is. And then let's talk about what we're doing with Return to Learn for sure.
Sure. And so, you know, Return to Play, I mean, certainly like the AAA with coaches and athletic trainers, they have these guidelines, right? So let's have a kid so we can give an example. So let's say we had our 13-year-old, let's make him 15. 15-year-old, he plays on his school soccer team.
Okay,
but he got a skull fracture and a small bleed, and he didn't require neurosurgical intervention. So by all accounts, we're hopeful that this kid is going to be able to go back to sports, right? Well, so we would work with neurosurgery, concussion team, and neurosurgery would work together to make sure, one, that he is not in any contact sports for 6 to 8 weeks. I like 8 weeks. Sure. We always individualize that. And then as a team, we decide if the child is safe to go back to sports.
Why is that
right?
So important?
We cannot risk them going back to sports too soon. Second impact syndrome is your scariest thing, right? Though we would say rare, it can be fatal. Yeah. We do not want these kids to take another hit while they're still healing.
Gotcha.
We can't do that. And that's why we provide that education so much, whether it's in a consult, in an outpatient visit, wherever it is. We so much talk about prevention and not getting another injury.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're fine.
Return to Play
is
kind of a standard of care, and it has
standard.
Been for a long time.
Yes. Okay. Yes. And like probably any coach and athletic trainer in the state is familiar with it, right?
Sure.
But you also kind of have to think about like rec sports. You know, those aren't so much regulated.
Sure.
And so we really, that's why that education is so important, mm-hmm. with these kids and their families, and educating why they cannot hit their head again and they have to heal from this injury. And then letting them know that even moving forward, like their risk is higher, mm-hmm. to get another injury, you know, and it just, it you know, multiplies as they get older.
Yeah, I feel like this whole subject has been really like put under the spotlight over the last few years. And maybe it's just me, but I feel like contact sports, you know, I've kind of followed the NFL, like increasing the cushioning in their helmets and stuff like that. They've really come out with some amazing helmets and stuff to try to, you know, this is a South, we love football so much, you know, so it's like,
well, yeah, and
we got to find a way to mitigate these injuries.
Yeah, to keep it going and where kids can do what they love.
Right. And like, even the rules have all changed, right? We're trying to avoid, you know, these head-to-head collisions. So, okay, but now I'm hearing terminology that I've never heard before, return to learn.
Yeah, return to learn. So we work so hard to get these kids safely back to their activities, right? Which is important. It's so important. But so is their ability to complete school and to be cognitively successful in the way that the trajectory they were on before their injury. We want to help them return to learn, right? And so I think historically, unfortunately, it just kind of took a back seat to sports, to activity, right? Because it was like, oh, yeah, it'll come back. Well, I mean, no, not always. Sometimes after our injury, we process in a different way than we did before. We still can get there. You know, like Dr. Hobart and I, we always use this example. We tell our patients, and we duplicate each other a lot, but we always say, maybe you always drove 67-167 to get where you wanted to go, right?
Okay.
But then like that got washed away, and now you have to take all these side streets. You still get there, but it takes longer. And so for these kids, say you're a straight-A student who had a mild complicated concussion, and now they can't test take the way they did before. And when they read something, they can't just answer questions. They have to go back and read it two more times. Well, that can be really overwhelming to a very, you know, straight A student who's not used to having to do that. And so that's where return to learn becomes so important. And we ask for things like just simple things to start, like preferential seating, extra time on homework and tests. And like, you know, when they're first coming back after this acute injury, like limiting their coursework and like trying to keep it to things that are necessary for course completion, things like that. But then we might see for some of our kids with our more severe injuries, like they may need to go back with special education services in place to support their learning and to make sure they're giving everything they need in their academic day. And so that's where like the Arkansas Department of Education, our relationship has been very close with them because we need them so much for our kids to get back to school.
I have a really good friend that his wife's done a lot of work around this.
I have a really good friend who's the same person.
We're really proud of that.
And yeah.
I know that I've heard all of these things going on, and I'm really, really proud of it. So is it true that we are kind of leading the way with this at Arkansas Children's as far as the follow-up care and the concussion clinic? And
yes.
Talk a little bit about that. Yeah. I'm really proud of that.
So to our knowledge, and from conferences that some of our neurosurgery staff have gone to, trauma, things I've spoke at, no one's doing this. No one's doing these inpatient concussion consults, right? Catching this for these mild injuries. Mild, complicated, even moderate if they didn't need acute care rehab, really getting all this going off the jump, you know, to improve their outcomes. Like from what we know, no one's doing it. And so we're so excited to share
amazing.
You know, we've gotten to talk to Pediatric Trauma Society about it and just like how much of a difference it's made for our kids here. And we just encourage any other institutions to try this because my goodness,
that's
really helped.
So you guys are tracking this, right?
Yeah.
I hear you saying that it's improving outcomes.
Yeah.
Can you talk about that? Can you speak to some of those improvements?
I can. So I would say neurosurgery right now is kind of taking the lead on the research for that. But they're right now like working on getting that published and putting this on paper because we know it's there and we've seen it. So it's super exciting.
I can't wait to see that publication. That's so cool.
And we have a good control group to compare to because like we have kids that we followed in concussion clinic for plenty of time before we started the consult. And we can look at their outcomes and see when they didn't get that early education and that sooner follow-up, like what a difference that made.
Do you think, this is just me thinking off the cuff, but do you think having those inpatient consults improved continuity, like as far as patients coming back and following up?
Yes.
Absolutely. That's
absolutely. Because sometimes it'd be real easy, right, to get home from your quick hospitalization and to be like, oh, my kid's fine.
Right.
They're back to normal. Like everything's good. We don't need to see them. We don't even know who they are. They referred us to a concussion clinic. Who's that? Versus like, we're coming in the hospital. We're seeing you. We're talking about why it's important for us to see you and follow up because they do look really good. These milder injuries, a lot of times they look great at 4 to 6 weeks, but you can't see their brain, you know? Sure. And that's where like we need to look. And that's where that return to learn is so important. And that's where, I mean, truly, and I can say this like with all certainty, when we don't have return to learn as a priority, like these kids can fail. Mm-hmm. They can truly like fail.
Oh, sure.
And and when we have a way to prevent that, it's a no-brainer to me. We should do it. Mm-hmm. Do everything we can to support these kids.
It seems to me like a really slippery slope, right? I mean, once they start to drop, once they start to fail, like at school or whatever, then we can't really get, and they just kind of go down from there. And then other problems are going to come up because of that, right? I mean, it's just like this kind of compound, right? Mm-hmm. What wonderful work. Thank you for doing this. So we love asking people this, but what is it that you love so much about your job?
Oh my gosh. One thing?
Well, I mean.
So certainly I number one is my patients. I think you could ask anybody in this entire hospital, like, what is the most important thing to Beth? It's her patients, right? Like, I love improving outcomes, but I love advocating for my patients. And especially when I can identify something that I can change in how I practice to improve their outcomes.
Yes.
That's it for me.
I love that.
And then I want to spread that information.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
That's being an advocate.
Yep.
That's really wonderful. If you won the lottery today, would you come back to work?
Would I come back to work? Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
We were talking about that earlier. We were like, I think I would.
I could say it without a doubt.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. You could call my husband right now because he kind of picks fun at me and he's like, I know you would still work. Yes, I would.
Yes,
I would.
I love that. That's what this place is built with, and it's so wonderful. And the children of Arkansas are blessed to have this service and to have people like you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And thanks for doing this with me. I know it was like a lot, and we put a whole lot on the table. So,
and there's so much.
There's so much.
There's so much more to say. It's just unreal. Like, there's so much more to say, and there's so much room for growth. But physical medicine and rehab, our team, like, we will continue to grow and continue to support these kids.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.